Hey everybody, this is Ben with Warm Welcome, and today we're doing a little something different. You might be used to the soothing, sultry voice of our regular host, Arnold, but today he's actually going to be the guest, and I'm going to be interviewing him. So here we are at With Warm Welcome headquarters, aka Arnold's bedroom, and we are sitting on this nice little furniture here, and he's got a nice space where it's very minimal and West Elm kind of feel, with some foam on the walls to absorb the sound. The reason he has the foam is because I had to tell this story first before I introduce you. Hold on. So the reason he has this foam on the wall is because, you know, a few months back, there was an episode where he was interviewing someone and the guest spoke and then he spoke, and it sounded like he was in a tunnel with super, like just a lot of echo. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I need to tell him. And when I told him, he's like, yeah, man, I know. My room's so empty right now. And then what really got to him was he got a review on one of his podcasts. Somebody gave him like a 1-star review that said like, it was a great interview, but there was a lot of echo. So here we are in the room with the foam padding. I hope it absorbs the sound and makes us sound a little bit better. But anyways, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest for today, slash co-host slash founder of With Warm Welcome, Arnold Bien.
I have one thing to say. I am 25 and single, and the foams are for a podcast.
If sure they are.
If I bring anybody home, that's what it's for. I just want to make it clear. Yeah, no, super, super nervous in some ways, because I feel like as a host, you're always just like on top of it and you know, you want to feel in control. But today I'm going to let Ben handle this and steer the ship today. So really excited.
Thank you. This is also a new thing for me. I'm not used to being a host or a guest, but it's been fun doing these podcasts so far. And when we last hung out, which was like 2 days ago in LA, I thought it would have been a great idea. I thought it would be a great idea to, you know, to have you talk a little bit more about yourself, because you're always interviewing other people. So I thought this was a great opportunity to, you know, talk about yourself, but also to answer the question that you get probably the most.
Yes.
And also the question that you hate the most, yes, which you revealed to me not too long ago,
yes,
which is, how's LA?
I probably have 5 direct messages sitting unread on Instagram where someone has asked me how LA is. And I will first like to apologize to you if I have blatantly ignored your DM, but it's really because it isn't my favorite. Well, first of all, let me take this back and say I'm very grateful for this opportunity to be interviewed. And so I really appreciate you, Ben, for taking initiative and making me do this, because it is something I've been wanting to do. I just didn't think I didn't know what the best way to do this was. So I think this is the perfect platform for this. But going back to how's LA, you know what? I am just not a fan of that, the way that's constructed and the way it's phrased. I guess for me, I always kind of read between the lines and I overanalyze and overthink too much, but the way I perceive it is like, hey, how's LA, the city, and not necessarily like my well-being and myself. So for me, that's like the first kind of trigger or the flag. But then the other thing is like, don't you guys read the news? Like, LA is not great, you know? Like I think today the ICU, there's 0, you know, beds available in ICU. There's no indoor dining in restaurants. So that's how LA is. But if you were to ask me how I'm doing, then I'm more than happy to expand upon that. So that's why I'm not a big fan of that question.
So it's the wording.
It's really the wording. I think wording is so important.
How are you doing in LA? Right? That's more kind of...
Yeah.
More direct. Yeah.
Like, how are you doing in LA? Uh-huh. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for asking, is what I would say in return. And, you know, it's just been a, it's been interesting. I think that there's so many differences, and I'm sure, you know, you can get into it too, because you've been here for a little bit too. I've been in here since October, and I made the move permanently from New York. I was in New York for seven years. And, you know, if you're listening and you've moved during this pandemic, I feel you. I immigrated to Los Angeles, actually, when I was really young. So when I was six, I was born in Korea, and we moved to Torrance, California, which is in South Bay. And I don't have many memories. I know as a kid, you don't really remember too much. So for me coming back, it doesn't feel like I'm coming back home necessarily. It actually feels like I'm moving to an entirely new city. Some parts of it familiar, some aren't. And moving during the pandemic, but then also just not being able to do what I used to do, which is working in restaurants. And that's what I've been doing for the past 7 years, but also at a greater extent, 10 actually, because that was my first job. It's been difficult. Yeah. I would say it's been difficult.
You're here with your brother, right? And, not a ton of friends out here. Right? And not obviously the same network of restaurant owners and chefs out here that you do, that you have in New York. So, you know, it's a very different.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're not even doing that stuff anymore. You
exactly.
Know? So, you know, what are you doing?
You know, Ben, I wake up asking myself that question every day. Who am I? What am I doing? It's just, you know, that quarter existential crisis. But currently, I'm helping my dad. And it's funny that we're recording this today. Well, it's not really funny, but my dad called me today when I was with you actually earlier. And he told me that today he folded his restaurant business. Mm-hmm. And closed all of his restaurants today, which he has been doing for the past 10 years, since 2010. And so now he's doing something else, and he's getting into the basically like the import business. And so I've decided to help him, mainly because there's no work out here for me in the restaurant industry. I'm not a chef, I don't cook, can't cook for my life. So I decided to help him out. And I thought, you know, obviously it works for me too. So right now, what am I doing? You know, my days are riveting. I spend a lot of days at the post office. I spend a lot of days at the warehouse. I'm selling face masks currently. It's one of many things I'm currently doing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what I'm doing full time, I guess, for now. Yeah.
Okay. Do you miss the industry at all? You miss New York or the restaurant scene?
Yeah, I miss it a lot. I miss New York a lot. Again, to your point about just having connections and friends and being familiar with the neighborhood and knowing the city in the back of your, you know, hand, and, definitely miss it. I think the energy is what I miss mm-hmm. the most, just like being around people all the time and, getting to meet new people. I love meeting new people. So that in itself, I miss a lot. And, it's just a big adjustment. And one of the things I was thinking about today is in New York, when you're going from point A to point B, you can still be on your phone. Like you can walk and text. I mean, obviously you should be looking where you're going and like, you know, like making sure you're crossing at the right times, but you can like kind of be on the go and still text or check emails.
You can multitask.
Well, yeah, you can multitask. In LA, I realized I'm like driving from A to B. Dude, these drives, they could be as short as 10 minutes, but they could go up to an hour depending on traffic and where I'm headed. And the thing is, like, I'm not gonna be texting. That's dangerous, and I don't do that. So I feel like a lot of that time is wasted in some ways, like that the commute time and the transportation time. So that's been a big adjustment for me. Yeah. But yes, miss New York. That being one of a few reasons, but definitely miss it. And the restaurant industry, I miss because, again, it's the energy. And I think I told you this before, working in restaurants, especially for me, like working in front of house and management and operations and just like interacting with guests. And the cool thing about working in restaurants for me was just like getting FaceTime with people from all walks of life that I probably would have never met before if I did something else.
It's a far cry from what we did a couple months back for friends and family, where you know, we would walk around the East Village and visit like six restaurants, talk to all the owners and stuff, or chefs or managers, and just like make a full day out of it, you know? Whereas here, we got in the car about 10 times, drove 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there.
You're right.
20 minutes here.
Yeah.
Let's go back home.
A lot of driving.
You know, and you're right. It is like cuts into your, you know, productivity, and you just kind of like, it's, you know, it's the way of life here, right?
Yeah.
And what's your thoughts, I guess, of like this lifestyle, aside from the driving and the traffic and all that stuff? Like, what do you think of like LA in general?
LA in general.
So far, I mean, I know it's been a few months, but
yeah, it's only been a few months, but you know, my thoughts on LA is that, okay, for those of you that are listening, they're probably interested in the food aspect, right? Food is really good here, but it's very different from New York. You know, it's not, I feel like New York is always like kind of trying to innovate or modernize things. Here, especially with ethnic food or Asian food, it's the way it is. And like sometimes, you know, I'll speak on Korean food just because that's something I'm familiar with and I lived in Korea. Like the Korean food, for example, that you find in LA is the closest you'll get to the food actually in Korea. So that's really cool. And then also cheap. Things are cheap here, guys. Like the portioning is ridiculous. The reason why I'm like kind of like talking slow right now is because we had Indian food not too long ago for dinner. And oh my gosh, it's just the amount of like the bang for your buck here is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So food wise, portions are great. Pricing is great. Taste is very close to what you would find maybe in that country. Mm-hmm. Pretty good variety too, but it's just, again, to your point, it's not like it's dense. Like you kind of have to have the destination in mind, and you got to like plot things out, logistically speaking. Other than the food, weather's awesome. Mm-hmm. And I've been enjoying not checking the weather app every day.
It's always
mid-70s. It's like 70 and sunny every day. Mm-hmm. So I do like that. The amount of time I spend in a Costco or like a supermarket during the day is pretty ridiculous to me. I think my days are measured in my time in a supermarket.
You don't like Costco?
I love Costco, actually. I think the deals are fucking amazing.
Costco's awesome.
I think it's actually terrific, but I just don't want to spend half my day there.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm doing, you know, every day because of some sort of errand, and I feel like the errand takes forever. People are pretty friendly for the most part, but it's a lot of small talk here, you know, and sometimes I just want to be in and out. I realize that, like, I've become a kind of a New Yorker in that sense, you know. Yeah. Obviously, living there for 7 years, like, you get acclimated to the environment. I don't know if that answers the question, but those are some of my early insights into life in LA, I guess.
I mean, things are definitely slower here, for sure, and things don't get done as quickly, I feel like.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, people are pretty friendly.
I think so, yeah.
Food is dope.
Yeah.
We just had some really awesome tacos the other night that are close to your place. For me, it was one of the funnest taco spots ever, just from the liveliness of the stall, you know, with this big vat of meat cooking and all the guys being super friendly. It was called Brothers Cousins Tacos.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting name. But honestly, one of the best taco joints I've ever been to, and the nicest guys ever. So that was one of my first true taco experiences in LA that legit, you know, represented the taco scene or Mexican food scene here that everyone raves about. So I highly recommend that place.
Yeah.
I went twice already this week with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's a terrific spot. I mean, it's like, it's definitely one of the highlights of LA is, again, some of the restaurants that are here, it may not be classy or elevated or refined,
yeah,
but
it doesn't have to be.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's a little different. But great. That taco spot, man, I'm glad we went.
Even the jajangmyeon from Bong
the other day. Bong. Shout out to Bong.
the food here is definitely delicious and cheaper, and it's just, it's sad, man. I, you know, as I mentioned last time, got here 2 days before outdoor dining closed, so it's been rough just buying takeout or eating on the curb.
Yeah.
hopefully that changes soon, but it's, who knows? I think right now, just gotta support them any way we can with takeout delivery. And you know, you just posted tonight about the family meal kits on With Warm Welcomes Instagram. So please continue to support the restaurants that you guys love, and you know, they really need our help right now. So
yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's really unfortunate, and part of the reason why I can't answer this how's LA question directly, and I've kind of ran in circles during this entire conversation, is because I just don't have a direct answer for everybody. Because whatever I think of it, I feel like it's not justifiable, and nor is it a perfect representation of what it could have been and should have been pre-COVID. Obviously, with the pandemic, there's so many restrictions and regulations that it makes it difficult for me, and I'm sure for everybody else out there, moving to an entirely new city to meet people. You know, that's challenging to pull off. Arranging things, you got to find out how you can finesse it. There's really not, there's not much you can do out here, but definitely more outdoor, like activity driven.
I mean, we saw two sunsets together. We were walking on the in what was that area? I keep forgetting the name.
Palos Verdes.
Palos Verdes, beautiful, beautiful neighborhood. You know, it's where Arnold lived for a little bit, and right by the ocean.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, showed me the area the other day, and we were walking down close to the ocean, and I had to actually use the bathroom, and I was like, I gotta go, man. Regular.
It sounded so romantic. You just said you had to go to the restroom.
I was like, oh man, I need to find a bathroom real quick. Nothing bad, but as we're walking back away from the ocean, I looked at my phone. I was like, wait, sunset's happening soon. And I turned around. I was like, hey, we should stay for sunset.
And then
we sat on a park bench.
That was exactly what happened.
So, you know, it's very romantic for couples, not us, but for other people. Beautiful sunsets here, and you know, being so close to the ocean and stuff like that, it's really nice. So definitely, and you know, and just today too, we went for a little hike.
Nice little hike, yeah.
So a lot of it does promote being outdoors,
yeah, that's true.
Because of the weather. That's nice.
Like being active.
For sure, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I love it here, to be honest. I've been here for about a month now.
That's crazy.
A little over a month. Yeah. And I got two more weeks left. Love to be here more throughout the year. I think that there's a lot of opportunities out here. And anyways, enough about me. What do you want to do for yourself, you know, in the next, like, let's say year? What do you want to accomplish in LA?
It's so hard to say, because like, I think for me, I'm realizing that I can't give up on my restaurant dream. Like, okay. I've always had a dream as a kid. And the reason why I got into this was because the story is basically my dad was running restaurants in Korea. I have a single dad and a workaholic, you know, and that's all he knew. He just work. And so eventually when I was in high school, I would just go to his place. Cause that's how we hung out and like spent time together. And then eventually, I wanted to keep myself busy, but also I found it so fascinating, like the work that was being done in front of me, like people bussing tables, taking orders, just like that, the whole environment. So anyways, I approached my dad and he just kind of threw me back in with the dishwasher. And so I started washing dishes when I was 15, and, I loved it. You know, it was great. It was like dirty dish. You have a dirty dish, it comes out clean. You just see the instant results right away, you know. After that, I became really curious. I've always been a curious person. And so I wanted to try other roles in that little cafe. So it was like a Korean dessert cafe, and we sold Korean shaved ice, pingzu. And so after that, I made the desserts in the back, and then I became a cashier. You know, it was a bad experience of being a cashier, because I didn't really speak fluent Korean at the time, and this was in Korea, and Koreans aren't the most patient people, and especially the middle-aged ladies, as we call them, ajummas. they're lethal, like absolute savages. Because I would try to take an order, and I wanted to understand something, and I'd ask them to repeat something. They're like, "What? You don't speak Korean? Like, why don't we speak Korean?"
Do the tones go up and down?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it was frightening. Actually, I was like scared shitless. But I think that obviously trained me a lot, and I learned a lot from that experience. But so I did that, and along the way, I decided that this is something I wanted to do, and it was my calling because I thought I had really good ideas. And so I would tell my dad, like, "Hey, Dad, like, we should do this. We should do that."
As a teenager still?
Yeah, as a teenager. I'm like, you know, let me change the website. Let's do this. Let's do that. I just proposed so many ideas.
That's great.
And it's good, but he didn't take any of them seriously. Oh, yeah. Well. And he shot me down. But that I took as fuel and motivation. And I thought, man, one day I'm going to have my own restaurant and I'm going to do whatever I want to do, you know? And so that was like the seed that was planted really early in my mind.
That sounds like a true K-drama. You worked in your dad's places for a few years, and then when did you come to New York?
I came to New York in 2013, and that was for college, for school. Okay. So I came to New York in 2013 and went to NYU, majored in something called Hotel and Tourism Management. Don't ask me what that is, because I don't know either. I'm not sure what I learned necessarily. But it did give me access to some of the best restaurants and hotels in New York. And so I spent some time working at a handful of them, yeah, throughout my years in New York. Yeah, that's all I did, hotels and restaurants.
And what was your first restaurant out of school?
First restaurant, I worked throughout school, so it was never like I finished school and then I entered the workforce. Mm-hmm. As soon as I stepped foot here, my first thought was I need to get my foot in the door and work at a restaurant. So I started working at a place called Morimoto in Chelsea Market, which actually very recently closed down permanently. Mm-hmm. But I worked there as a host and reservationist, and that was my first job ever in 2014, a couple months after I arrived. And that was my first ever restaurant experience. And I don't want to bore you because I've worked everywhere, but I guess the one place I want to mention that was pivotal for me was Boulay back in the day. And that was when I was a junior. I was 20 years old at the time. And my manager had left and the role was open. Maybe I was just young and naive or something, but at the same time, I was still so hungry and ambitious, and I thought, like, I don't know anything, but I'll figure it out. I was very confident in my ability to figure things out, and so I approached Chef, and because we had a hard time filling this role, and I approached Chef Boulay, and I asked him if he could give me a chance, and he did, and that was really a life-changing, like, life-altering moment for me. Everything after that was just on, like, it was just fast-tracked, you know? I was in the carpool lane. It was crazy, yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. And then, yeah, and then, which I guess if you want to skip a couple of restaurants, we can. And your last job was at Automix, right?
Yeah, most recently I worked for a really wonderful couple, Chef Jonghyun Park, or JP as he goes by, and as a husband and wife team, and his wife Elia Park, who manages the front, administrative work. I mean, she does everything else that JP does not do. So yeah, I worked for them most recently in New York.
And here we are, back to LA.
Here we are in LA, yeah, here we are, yeah.
That's a nice little, thank you for sharing that. You know, yeah, it's nice to hear kind of where you started and what got you interested in the restaurant industry in the first place. And it is kind of like almost full circle now that your dad has sold his restaurants today, right? Kind of like, closing the chapter on that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah,
like, it feels like a part of it. I don't know. It's like it ended for him, and I think for him too. And I want to express this because you would think that having a dad in the restaurant business, he would understand your passion and your wanting to get into that business that he's in. But he's been trying to push me out of it for the longest time, all the time. And didn't matter if I was an assistant manager, 20 years old at a Michelin star restaurant in Tribeca, like that didn't matter to him because in his eyes, I was still working at a restaurant is what it kind of came down to.
Yeah.
And I use that as fuel, right? I'm sensing a common thread. I think I'm just like a vengeful person, but I use that as fuel. And then, you know, I went on to do other things, manage other restaurants, was part of an opening team. I honestly think, looking back on it now, these are crazy things, but it still never amounted to anything for my dad, to my dad. And I was honestly like discouraged all the time. Like, he never really took me seriously or took my work seriously. So it was really hard, and it still is hard. Yeah.
What were his expectations of you?
I think he wanted me to get a corporate job, something that was more 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, weekends off, because obviously my hours were really crazy managing restaurants. And he thought that wasn't healthy, that wasn't right, it wasn't a profession, and you know, you shouldn't, it's not really a career per se, is what is it were some of his thoughts. Yeah. It's, and still he thinks that.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people listening can, especially with like Asian parents, you know.
But hey, you know, it's cool that you still want to do it and have your own restaurant one day or something, you know, in that
right industry. Right, right.
So I'm glad that that fire is still burning inside of you, and it's something that you want to do, and I think it's awesome. So
yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's a restaurant necessarily anymore. Mm-hmm. I will say this, like, I've loved doing this podcast. I love this project, and one of the highlights for me was doing the pop-up events for With Warm Welcome. And I honestly, that's when I thought that was my calling.
Yeah, the Madame Vo event, right?
Yeah, Madame Vo event with Jimmy. This was exactly around a year ago, November 2019, and we did a pop-up event, brought together 6 different restaurants, and we did a tasting menu. It was a charity dinner for Apex for Youth, but just coordinating the event, getting people together, collaborating, and then obviously like marketing the event, coming up with like different ideas, right? So we did these like really cool menu cards, bring people together, being the face of the event, putting the music track together. I mean, just like the whole choreography was so much fun. And all the while, obviously, I don't own the restaurant, right? So kudos to Jimmy for giving me his trust in that. But yeah, when I ran that event with Jimmy and collaborated with him, I really felt like, wow, maybe this is something I can do full time. Podcasts, pop-up events, whatever else. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And now you want to kind of, you know, I know you're focusing a lot more on With Warm Welcome, and you want to make it more, what would you say, media driven and kind of even maybe some part consulting with restaurants.
Yeah.
Working with restaurants.
I've been thinking about that a lot, actually. I think it's part media and part consulting agency. And I think the consulting aspect could be so many things. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in the past, I've done a lot of websites for different restaurants. So that's easily there. Websites, graphics, even marketing, brand direction, brand strategy, things of that nature. And obviously we have some people on the team as well that have some really terrific skill sets that they can offer. We could give you the whole package if you had wanted to. Photography, website,
writing,
marketing, copywriting, we got it. Illustrations.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, that's actually the idea. Yeah. You know, is I want us to be a media company in the sense that, like, I think me, obviously you, Ben, but Esther as well, I think we all have really interesting perspectives to this. And representation is so important, first of all. And then second, you know, I think the more perspectives, the better it is for everybody, you know? And so you're absolutely right. I think that's what I'm gearing towards and building towards, is like, I want to be able to be a media company in the sense that I want to continue telling stories and amplifying the chefs and restaurateurs that we both know, and maybe that we've yet to meet, because what they do is so inspirational, and I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Being a son of a restaurant owner, and also just dedicating my entire life so far to restaurants, so I get it, and you get it, and obviously that's really important for me. But yeah, I think so. I mean, that'd be really cool. I think that's what I would love for this to become eventually. Yeah.
Thank you, Arnold, for sharing your thoughts on how LA is, but more importantly, sharing how you're doing in LA. You know, for everyone listening out there, if you do talk to him in the future, make sure, don't ask him how LA is. Just ask him how he's doing in LA. And I'm sure he'd be more than happy to tell you. But again, today's main point of the interview was to answer that question and in jest, of course, but more importantly, to see how Arnold was doing. And thank you so much for sharing that today.
Thank you, Ben, for asking me how I'm doing. And yeah, you know what? I'm really happy that I got a chance to do this again. And I feel like this conversation, maybe I wasn't able to say everything the way I wanted to necessarily, maybe, but I'll be honest, it's how I feel right now. You know, I don't have as clear of a mind as I used to, and things are so uncertain for me, and I'm sure for a lot of people. And this is, I'm just processing things. So, again, I really appreciate you asking me how I'm doing, and I'm happy to tell people how I'm doing as well. I hope you're doing, whoever you are listening in, you're doing okay too, and keeping on and pushing forward with what you can.